I thought last Sunday I was finished with this, the scripture in Romans, but I'm not. You know, I've heard a lot of messages lately. I listen all the time. I'm listening to preachers, and I listen to preachers on television. I listen to preachers everywhere, and I find out that most of them talk about Jesus, but very few of them bring responsibility to us. What is our responsibility in this life? Christ has done everything he's going to do. He's sitting on the right hand of the Father, except when he comes back, of course. But I'm talking about he's given us everything we need. It's all inside of us if we're Christians. He's put the seed in there, and that seed is God wants to grow a beautiful tree out of a little seed that he put in your life called salvation. And so God has a lot of things that he wants to do through your life and mine. And so I want us to know how to do it. And the only way I know how is what I've been teaching now for several weeks. And I'm going to teach one more time on it, because I find I learn by hearing something over and over and over and over. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't want you to just learn it. I want you to start doing it. I want you to realize that God has these wonderful things he wants to do in your life, and you have to be open to it, and you have to receive what he wants to do, and then you have to start doing what he wants you to do. And because I don't want anybody in this place stand before Jesus and try to explain why they didn't do what the Word of God says. And because that would be a sad thing to me. And it's my responsibility to talk to you and explain how this whole thing works. Jesus didn't give us all of this and not tell us how to do it. He tells us in the Word of God how to do it. He did it himself to show us how to do it. And it's very simply ministering to people in the name of Jesus Christ. It is touching people's lives. It's making a difference every single day of the week. The first day of the week is where we get fired up and ready to go for the next few days. And that's what we're doing. So let's go to Romans 1:21. Let's go to Romans 1:18. And I want to go through this again, because this is the only way to allow God to let him do the fullness of what he wants to do in your life. I remember when I got saved, and the church I got saved in was a good church, and they taught salvation all the time, but I never heard anything about Christ being in me and about Christ able to do things through me until I started reading other books and looking at other things. And I understand that some people don't want to hear messages like this because it puts responsibility on them. Well, here's your responsibility. All right, Romans 1:18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. And that means men that know the truth, and I'm talking about women, but they go on and do unrighteous things. The wrath of God is upon them right now. It isn't going to be later. It's now. It will be later, but also it's now. Because that which may be known of God is manifested in them, for God has shown it unto them. For the invisible things from him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. In other words, God, you know by breathing, you had to come from somewhere. And I'm here to tell you, God created you. You came from God. He sets the rules, and he's going to bring it to a conclusion. He tells us that there's a period of time that you're going to be on this earth, starting as a baby, and you grow up, and you do all these other things, and then there's going to be an end, and there's going to be a test, and there's going to be a... We're going to have to explain to him our life. I'm talking about Christians. Lost people are not going to have anything to explain. But we're going to have to explain ours. And so I want you to be ready. I want you to know that God wants to speak to you. He wants to talk to you. He wants to direct your life. There's no halfway thing with the Lord. It's all or nothing. Or are you listening to me? And some of us have to be in church every time the door opens because we have to keep needing encouragement because this world is lost and is doing ungodly things. And so it gets discouraging when you're out in the world. You have to come and take a bath on Sunday so you're ready for the next week. And that's the way it is. Now, God gave us a plan in verse 21. This is negative here, but we turn it around positively. Because when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. Neither were they thankful, became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. That's what man without God does. I don't care how good they are, how bad they are, whatever. Doesn't make any difference. You can go to hell being good. Or are you listening to me? Now, the issue is that we want to know what to do to stay out of that place. And the first thing is come to Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord. That's the very first thing. Come to that old rugged cross. Come to what we've been singing about this morning. You have to come to God, say, here's my life. Do with it what you want. Whatever's left of it here on this earth, do with it what you want. I've done all my stuff. Now I want to do your stuff. And I don't care how old you are, how young you are, whatever it is. This thing doesn't work backwards. And then they went on, professing themselves to be wise without God, they became fools. A fool is somebody that says there is no God and lives like it. Are you listening to me? That's a fool. That's what the Bible says. Now, they changed the glory of God. Instead of doing what God wanted them to do, this is what they did. They changed the glory of God into incorruptible man, into an image made like corruptible man. In other words, they started worshiping man. They started worshiping what man could do instead of what God can do. They started worshiping themselves. All they ever think about is themselves. They don't care about anything else or anybody else. It's me, 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 my, my. And that is foolishness. It is ungodliness. It is living without God. And so that's the issue. And we don't want to do that. And then it goes on. And made like corruptible man and birds. Birds in the Bible usually is not good. It's something bad. It has to do with witchcraft. It has to do with the occult. It has to do with seances. It has to do with Ouija boards and fortune telling and all that, and all of that astrology and all that junk that people get involved in that keeps them away from God. And the New Age, and all they want to do is manipulate people and control the situation instead of let God be in control. That's what birds are in the Bible. And then four-footed beast. What the world is that? It's Wall Street. It's power. It's money. It's Washington. It's politics. And you can see how messed up it gets without God. Just read the paper. Listen to the news. You see. That's what man gets involved in without God. And it's foolishness, according to the Word of God. And then there's creeping things. And boy, all of us battle this stuff. There's no exception. Addictions of every kind you can imagine. Sexual sins, drugs, food, love in all the wrong places. All of that stuff will keep you from God. If that's the emphasis of your life. Do I hear an amen? Amen? All right. That's what God's trying to get across. How do we get out of that mess? How do we stay out of that mess? We stay out of it very simply by giving God the glory. Hallelujah. For who he is and what he's done and what he's going to do. I'm going to tell you, God's plan's the best plan. I'm telling you, the Word of God is the best book. It ought to be the number one book in your life. It ought to be the one you read some in it every day. Sometimes, yesterday I just had a big desire to read the book of Galatians. I've read it. I tell you, I got blessed. I've read it before. that I've read it again. And I'm going to try to read as much as I can this week in the Word of God. I want that in my mind, in my heart, in my life. Because that is life, you see. And if I want life, I have to take in life, and that's what we are to do. We're to give God the glory. We're to place more value on the Lord than anything else, anybody else, any way else, you see. And when you do that, then you don't have problem loving your spouse, loving your family, loving your kids, and all of this stuff. It all follows when you give it all to God. Some people want one foot in God and one foot in the world. And don't you imagine that's miserable? It is. You have to give it all. Give it in. Give up. Surrender to God. That's what you have to do. There's no halfway stuff. If you're having a trouble in life, be in the Word of God and be in church every time the door opens. I'll tell you, that's the only way I know to come out of this world. Now, and when you're home, listen to it on TV, listen to the radio station, listen to the Word of God. Put more value on the Lord than anything else in your life. And that's what it is. Now, don't let anything compete with God in your life. Anything or anybody. Anything or anybody. Don't let anything compete with God in your life or its foolishness according to the Word of God. Don't seek the praise of people. Seek the praise of God, you see. Don't depend on your spouse, your children, or your job to be your life source. I'm going to tell you, they're not going to make a new heaven and a new earth. They're not going to keep you out of hell. Go to the one that can keep you out of the fiery furnace, you see. And we're always depending on people to do it. You know, you read your Bible, so I'll be okay. Give me a break. That doesn't work that way. Somebody says, I don't read. Well, get some tapes of the Bible and listen to them. There's no excuse here. You see, for being in the Word of God. How are you going to stand before the Lord and give Him all the foolishness in your life? You see. I don't want to be in that position. I'll probably have enough of it. I don't want any. For we're going to commit ourselves to God. God must stand alone in your life. He must be your source. And then everything will come out of that and flow like a river. It's the grace of God. It's not try to get yourself together and then come to God. You can't get yourself together and come to God, and He won't accept anything out of your flesh anyway. You see. I mean, there's way too much religion and not enough of Jesus. You see. If everything else in your life fell apart, you should be able to still worship and praise our Savior Jesus Christ, because you're going to be with Him forever. I think you're going to know your loved ones in heaven, but they're not going to be the most important thing in heaven, I'll tell you that. It's going to be Jesus. And so we might as well start it now. We might as well practice it now. We might as well get into Him now and put more and more. Magnify the Lord is what we sing sometimes. Magnify the Lord. Make Him bigger. Praise Him. That's the first thing. And you know, the second thing is being thankful to God. And you know, the Bible says that joy comes from being thankful. Every once in a while, somebody will say, you know, I just don't have any joy in my life. How thankful are you? Are you thankful to God for what He's done, for saving you, for keeping you, for sustaining you and preparing a place for you and coming again for you and preparing a new heaven and a new earth for you? Hallelujah, He's wonderful. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You see, joy comes out of thankfulness. If you're miserable all day and complaining all day, I'll guarantee you're not going to have any joy. And the Bible calls that foolishness. You see, it's being thankful to God. There's way too many things in the way of God in our lives. We thank Him and we meditate on Him, and you start thinking about the victories in your life, not the defeats, not the mess, not the sin, not the past, but the victory in Jesus Christ and what He's done. Because if you haven't gotten any victory, you better get saved.
That's right.
You see. And that's the issue. I'm trying to show you how this thing works. It starts with God, and then it comes to us to thank Him.
Thank you,
and to praise Him and to worship Him. I'm telling you how your life is supposed to work. It starts at God and then goes down to us and then out to other people. And guess what? It's going to go back to God. It's a circle. It's like a marriage ring. It's a circle. And it's all going to come back to Him, whether it's foolishness, sin, or whatever it is. It's all going to come back to Him. You see. You know, I think a lot of us are going to stand before God, and the angels are going to have to bring some shovels, if you know what I mean. They're going to have to shovel a little bit of stuff out of the presence of God, if you get the idea. That's the story. So the less, the better. Let's put it that way. All right. You got to work at not being negative. You'll automatically be negative if you don't work at it. Are you listening to me? If you don't go after God, you're going to be negative. If you don't chase God down, you're going to be negative. That's because that's the way we are. We were born that way because of the sin of Adam and our own sin. Nobody's going to get up before God and say, oh, it's all Adam's fault. I'll tell you that right now. That's what Adam did. It's my wife's fault. That won't work either. It's the devil's fault. That's not even going to work. You understand? It's not going to work. We're not going to have that excuse. You know, it's all going to come out in the wash. There's always a final grade, you see. And so, you can go to college and sit in on the classes and not study and get a big fat F at the end of the thing. Or you can go after it and learn it and take that test and come out good in the name of Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell you, it takes work. It's easier for some and others, I understand that. But it takes work. It takes work. I found out something in college, the more I worked at it, the better grades I got. Isn't that interesting? Isn't that amazing? The more you work in the things of God, the more you start giving the glory to Him. You know, it is so wonderful to say, good morning, Lord. Good morning, Lord. Let's do this day together. Instead of, oh my God, it's morning. I tell you, this morning it felt good in that bed. It was kind of chilly outside, and it was so nice and snuggy warm in that bed. I didn't really want to get out of there, to be honest with you. But since I'm the pastor, I figured I better show up. But the issue is you have to work at it. You have to work at it. You have to keep on it. You just sit down and take it easy. You know, if you decide you want to relax and watch television, you'll watch the biggest bunch of garbage you ever saw in your life. Or if you say, I'm only going to watch certain channels, I'm only going to watch things of the Lord, I'm only going to watch this. I mean, you have to make decisions. Some people never make a decision. They were spoiled when they were young. Everybody made decisions for them, and then they start looking for somebody to make decisions for them. You make the decisions with God.
Right.
Somebody else can't make it for you. Nobody else is going to save you. You see? And, don't rehearse negative things in your life. Don't keep going over negative things. Go over the things of God. It'll make a difference.
Right.
You see? You know all Jesus talked about? The Father. The Father this, and the Father that, and the Father showed me this, and the Father wanted me to do that. You know, he loved the disciples. He discipled them. He mentored. He was a mentor for them. But all he talked about was the Father, the Father, the Father. And I think he turned out pretty good. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Oh, there's something about that name. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, yes. Philippians 2:5. Philippians 2:5. Isn't that wonderful? We're just getting started. Okay. This is it right here. I mean, we got to start thinking right and quit letting everything come along just bounce around in our mind. Because it'll drive you crazy. And it's foolishness besides. Philippians 2:5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, in other words, he who was God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore? Everybody say, wherefore?
Wherefore?
God also has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee would bow, things in heaven, things in earth and things under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Hallelujah. That's the kind of life he lived. That's the kind of life we're supposed to live. Let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus, that he became a servant to the Father, even though he was equal with the Father and he was God. He became a servant even unto death of the cross of Calvary. And the Father lifted him up because he gave the Father the glory in the name of Jesus. And he was thankful. That's it, you see. That's what life is. That's what life is supposed to be. However many years you have, this is it. If you don't have this, your life is foolishness. Now, set joy before you, be thankful, put God first, and fix your eyes on the things God has done and wants to do in your life. And don't allow your imagination to be filled with ungodly things. Don't start thinking about how lousy the boss is, how lousy your mate is, how lousy your neighbor is, or whatever it is. It doesn't do any good. That's foolishness. It leads to nothing. It's going to be shoveled at the throne of God. You see. And the only thing God's going to keep there are going to be the things that are glorifying to him, so that he can raise you up in eternity to be with him forever. God's not being selfish here. God knows it's better for you. That's why he created you. There wasn't any other reason. If you're not doing it, you're not doing what you were created for. It's foolishness. If I'm not careful, I get excited about this. You fill your imagination with the things of God. You fill your imagination what God can do for you. You fill your imagination what God wants to do through you. And you quit thinking about yourself and start thinking about somebody else and start being thankful to God and start giving the Father the praise. There's no other way to get there. If there was, I would tell you, this is how God made us. You know, the first thing he did with Adam and Eve, have Bible study. Now, that ought to tell us something. The first thing he did was have Bible study. That ought to tell us something. That ought to tell us what's number one. That ought to tell us what the primary thing is. It's to learn of God. And that's what he did. And you put priority in these things. You do it, the rest of the family will follow. Somebody saying, well, if somebody in the family starts following Jesus, maybe I'll think about it. You do it. You're the head of the family. You're the one that's supposed to be doing this stuff. Don't wait on somebody else to do it. You know, most people have been saved because somebody cared about them and told them about Jesus. Are you listening to me? Somebody cared. Somebody cared enough to pray. I had a barber I didn't even know prayed for me for years. Didn't know it till after I got saved. I was a kid, went to him and he cut my hair and he was a Christian. He's with the Lord now. I'll tell you, there's one guy I'm going to thank. You see, he cared. If you're full of yourself, you're not going to care for anybody. Now, that's just the way it is. It's foolishness. It's a wasted life. The only life it isn't wasted is somebody that cares for somebody and becomes a servant to somebody, becomes a blessing to somebody so that their life will change. Now, God says, follow your heart. Well, your heart has to be full of the Word of God. He said, follow your heart. You don't follow your heart unless you're in the Word. It's going to mess you up. You know, somebody's always saying, well, I just felt like that's what I was supposed to do, and now I'm in this big mess. Well, you weren't following the heart filled with God. I can tell you that right now. And, oh, my. You know, God wants to start talking to you. Tell you a story about a preacher. Now, it doesn't have to be a preacher. This could be you. There was a businessman who was not in good health, and somebody asked that the preacher would come and tell him about Jesus. So he went in and this man's house, and he talked to him about Jesus, and he convinced the fellow that he ought to receive Christ. But he said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. This was Saturday night. He said, I'm going to be in church on Sunday morning, and I'll receive Jesus. And the pastor said, that's wonderful. And he starts walking for the door, put his hand on the doorknob, and a voice inside of him said, go back and tell him now. You think that was the devil? I don't think so. It was God. So he went back, and he talks to this man. He says, I think you should do this now. And the guy said, Now, Pastor, he said, I'm a businessman. I keep my word. That's a new one right there. But anyway, I keep my word. That wasn't nice. I apologize. Well, anyway, you know, he says, I always keep my word. I'll be there in the morning. I'm going to accept Jesus. Pastor said, okay, I'll have to believe that. He goes, gets to the door, puts his hand on the doorknob. And the little voice said, tell him he has to do it now. Third time he goes back, talks to this businessman, and he said, today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of salvation. And he led that man to the Lord. 2 hours before the church service, the next morning, the man died. That's a true story. That happened. Don't wait till tomorrow. It's foolishness. Get your heart so full of God, get your life so full of God that God will speak to you, and you put your hand on the doorknob and they'll tell you where to go. Put your hand on the doorknob and they tell you who to talk to. Put your hand on the phone and they tell you who to call up and tell about Jesus. That's the kind of life we're to live on this earth. That's what Jesus did. That God, he probably had a cell phone and God said, okay, go to Capernaum and pray for so-and-so. And he did. And they came. And he prayed. And they rose up, though they were dying, and they rose from the dead. Are you listening to me? Somebody would come and touch just the hem of his garment or the tassel on his prayer shawl, and they'd be saved. You know why? Because he was in the place that the Father told him to be. He was in the right town, the right place, or the right road, or the right house, or whatever it is, because he was constantly listening to the Father. The Father was speaking to him. I don't know that God's going to talk to you about every little thing you do in your life, but it'd be a good thing if he did. You see? When you're full of God, you can listen to your heart. And it's what the heart man believes unto righteousness. It's what the heart confession is made to Jesus Christ and the person is saved. And you see, and now the Lord might tell you to do something for somebody. You say, I don't even like the person. That's the one you better do something for. Are you listening to me? Because you know that's God. And he wants you to do for somebody something for somebody you don't like, you see. Oh, and you might say, oh, there's somebody over there. There's somebody over there, standing over there, that's contemplating committing suicide. You would be amazed if you went into a store where there's a whole bunch of people, how many problems are in that store, how many problems people have, and how many of them may not live past the day. And I'm not saying pray for everybody, but I'm saying listen to God. He'll tell you who to pray for. And you pray for them. But you ask permission. You just don't run up and slap your hand on somebody and say, I'm going to pray for you. You don't even know them particularly. You say, may I pray for you? God may even tell you what the problem is. Oh, that's what's really good. God just told me that you were thinking about suicide. Can I pray for you? Don't you imagine that turned somebody's life around? God's interested in me. He sent this person. Oh, my goodness. It's wonderful to be a Christian, listening to God. It's not a misery. It's not something that's drudgery. It's a wonderful thing. If you wake up acknowledging Christ, go to bed acknowledging Christ, and do that. I try to put my face to the floor when I first get up in the morning and say, good morning, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And at night, before I get in my bed, I put my head in the floor and say, good night, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Watch over me tonight. And I want to get up on fire for the things of God. Are you listening? Now, I'm going to tell you, you don't just listen to God in your devotional time. You don't just listen to God in church. You listen to God wherever you're at. Don't you imagine he can speak in Walmart as well as some other place? You think he's limited? Has to be in church? I don't think so. God wants to speak to you everywhere, you see. Now, here's another thing. Don't put your life in compartments. Well, I got this compartment. This is my family, and I got this compartment. This is my work, and I got this compartment. This is my play, and I've got this compartment. This is where I go to church. Now, what I do here doesn't affect the rest of it because I've put it in a little box here, and I enjoy it when I go, hallelujah. But then when I'm out of there, I get in these other boxes, and I don't get God involved in any of this stuff. That's foolishness. And everybody does that. Now, don't tell me you don't do that, because I know you do. It's foolishness. Oh, you know, I'm going to go over and do this. I'll leave God sitting here till I get back, and then I'll go over and do this, and then I'll come back. Hi, God, how you doing? And let's talk. Let's get in the Word. And then we go do something else, leave God totally out of it. God wants to be in all of it. You know, I had a guy one time, loved the Chicago Cubs. He just thought they were the greatest thing in the world. He had Chicago Cubs on his walls and Chicago Cub flag and a Chicago Cub cap and all this stuff. And he went to the games, had a season ticket and all this stuff. And then when it was the off season, he still talked about the Cubs. And they would, some of the Cubs would go to certain towns and have meetings and meet the people. He'd go to all those things. He never missed one of them. Without God, it's foolishness. We ought to be that way about God. Oh, my goodness. You know, I heard about this person on television, talks about Jesus, and it's really good. Listen to it. Get in the Word of God, you see. And that's the issue. I'm not telling you something I haven't done myself. When I first got saved, I was kind of nonchalant about the whole thing. I'll be honest with you. I knew something good had happened. But it seemed like the more I went, the more I wanted to go. And pretty soon I was going every time the door opened. They said, does somebody want to sing in the choir? I'll do it. Somebody want to teach this, the fifth graders? That was the biggest mistake in my entire life. That wasn't for me, I'll tell you that right there. That wasn't my thing, but I'll tell you, I'd have volunteered for anything. You know, take out the garbage, do whatever. Didn't make any difference. Then they said one time, well, we need somebody for the youth. Really, I knew they didn't like the youth. I mean, this is quite a church, you know. They didn't like the youth. So they just wanted to get somebody to go, be dumb enough to go take care of these kids, you know what I mean? And I did it. But I'll tell you, that was a blessing. That was a blessing. And then I just kept doing whatever I felt God wanted me to do. And then one day he said, I want you to preach. I said, hold it, God. I'll teach the fifth graders before. Well, I really did thought he made a mistake. The first mistake God ever made. And the first people used to hear me when I first started preaching would agreed with him. Agreed with me. It was a big mistake. They put up with me. And you do too. But the issue is, if you listen to God with the little things, he'll put you into the other things. Are you listening to me? If you start with just a small thing, call somebody and cheer them up today. They got a problem. Love somebody today that doesn't feel lovely. You understand what I'm saying? You do the small things, then it puts you into other things. He'll make you, I'm going to tell you something, he'll make you a better business person. He'll make you a better nurse. He'll make you a better secretary. He'll make you a better accountant. He'll make you a better line worker, a truck driver, or whatever. In Jesus, you can be the best there is, you see. And he's going to show you things that are coming. He's going to show you things that he wants to do. He's going to show you where the business is going. He's going to show you all these things. Now listen. Listen to this, and I'm going to quit. I've gone too long anyway. But here's the deal. Even if you've messed up part of your life, and I don't know anybody that hasn't, even if you've messed it up to today, today is the day of salvation. I'm not going to look at the scripture, you know it's in Joel. It says he'll restore the years the locusts have eaten. That means he's going to restore the years you were in foolishness. That's what that means. He'll restore the years. He'll give back good things to you. You can start today in Jesus Christ. It's not easy, but it's going to be the best. You'll get your heart established. You're going to change your life forever. You decide. Do I hear an amen? Now we're going to pray some things. If there's anybody here that has not accepted Jesus Christ, I'm going to ask you to pray this after me. If there is anybody, you can pray it quietly before the Lord. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe that the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins. I believe he rose from the dead on the third day. I believe that he shed his blood that I might have eternal life. And right now, I receive the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior and my Lord. I want you to go to Luke 11:11, and I'm going to close. Luke 11:11. Now I know why God wanted me to preach this today. Somebody needed it. Probably me. Now I want you to look at this. Put this in your brain. Put this in your heart. Put this in your imagination. Luke 11:11. If a son asks bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? If he asks a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? If he asks an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Let's say this together. How much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? We need the Holy Spirit to do these things. We can't do them on our own. God never planned on us doing it on our own. Now, if you want to pray, I'm going to give you the prayer, and then you, if you want to pray it. Father, I recognize my need for your power to live this new life. Please fill me with your Holy Spirit. By faith, I receive the Holy Spirit right now. Thank you for baptizing me. Holy Spirit, you're welcome in my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I'm not talking about you received the Holy Spirit when you got saved. I'm talking about surrendering your life to the Holy Spirit so he'll work the things of God through you right now. And I guarantee you it'll happen. I didn't say it happened in a minute. Might be days, could be months. But it'll happen. If you want to pray this, pray it out loud. Dear Heavenly Father, I recognize my need for your power to live this new life. Please fill me with your Holy Spirit. By faith, I receive the Holy Spirit right now for the power to be witnesses. Thank you for baptizing me in the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, you are welcome in my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand before the Lord. We're going to have invitation.